When you hear the beeps.
There we go. Okay, good morning, everybody. I hereby call to order this regular meeting of the DES-DDD District Central Independent Oversight Committee. Today's date is June 26th, 2023, and the time is 10:09 a.m. This is a regular meeting of the Independent Oversight Committee. It is being held electronically. This meeting is being recorded, and the transcript of that recording will be posted on the ADOA IOC website. In an effort to avoid excess background noise and potential microphone feedback, please mute your microphone when you are not speaking. The host of the meeting can mute you, but then you can also unmute yourself when you would like to speak. You can mute or unmute yourself by clicking on the microphone icon at the bottom left corner of your screen or elsewhere depending on the platform. Additionally, I have been asked to read the following statement. Do we have anyone that has to disclose a conflict of interest? And if there is, the committee member needs to disclose why. No one needs to disclose a conflict. Thank you. So we will now have introductions of those present in this meeting. My name is Linda Meekum. I am the chair of District Central Independent Oversight Committee. Carolyn. You're on mute, Carolyn. Still on mute. There you go.
Okay. Carolyn Wilmer, member of the Independent Oversight Committee.
Lisa
Ellenberger, member of Independent Oversight Committee.
Eva.
This is Eva Hammond, and now Woman Study. And I am a member of ILC.
Mandy.
Mandy Harmon, ILC member.
Thank you. Let's see. Jeffrey, I'll let you do the rest.
All right. Let's go ahead and go to Larry.
Larry Allen with ADOA.
Thank you. Michelle.
Michelle Rademacher, DDD, Independent Oversight Committee Liaison.
I'll introduce myself. I'm Jeffrey Yamamoto. I'm the DDD IOC Liaison for Districts Central and East. Doesn't that look like James is here again? Patricia?
Patricia Sandino, the PRC Chair at Central.
All right, thank you. Frederica?
Hi, this is Frederica Graham with Access.
Thank you. Don?
Hi, everybody. This is Don McReynolds, the OIFA Administrator at United Healthcare.
All right.
This is James. My phone.
Okay. Thank you, James. Vera?
Vera Kramarchuk, Mercy Care Ombudsman.
All right. Hold on just a second. All righty. So, did I miss anybody that is currently on the call? All right. Linda?
I'm not sure I understood your text.
So we got the welcome and introductions and next call to the public, if you want to go ahead and read that statement.
I have a statement.
It's on your cheat sheet.
It is. I don't know. We will now have a call to the public. It appears we do not have anyone from the public. We do?
Yes.
Who is this? I'm sorry.
Mr. Delgado, Northern Arizona. Parent support ADA compliant. I'll let them make my comment from the public input.
Mr. Delgado, let me just let you know that your time is limited to 3 minutes. And we will not be able, depending on what you have to say, we will not be able to discuss your comments because it's not on the agenda. And we appreciate you being here. If you would, we appreciate you being here. So go ahead. Your time starts now. Thank you.
Okay. I didn't want to make my public input as an advocate, parent review, and human rights and committee and on this IOC. One thing I want to say today is that I'll be real quick. This is a time season for camping for the clients throughout the state of Arizona for disabled. We have a little problem, I think. A campsite called Williams, Arizona, called Civitan, a nice fine organization. They do fine things. But on the campaign, there's a concern in some parents in like manner. And I made inquiry on the capacity of what they're doing. The charge is $2,000 for the summer, plus $100 spending fee. Wow, that's a lot of money. That's $100 on Monday, $400 on Tuesday, $400 on Wednesday, up to $2,000. That's ridiculous, I think. I don't think it's fair. And on the other reason is because sometimes the DDA division and Williams campsite, they had a discussion, they don't want certain people, the ones with behavior, those in ADA, group home setting, and the other one is called care facility. But they take medication just like the nurse gives to the other, and they should be made available in like manner. Those are the areas that were concerned, and I don't think it's fair. And they've run about 9 weeks, 10 weeks, and to run with that amount, but they use some funds out of respite care. And that was used elsewhere where parents were being placed to get rest. But they changed that some time back. But negotiated between Civitan and DD, they agreed to that to restrict those three areas because they believe in theory that there are behaviors and they shouldn't be. Well, I also mentioned in the real quick, like in a close off, what about those of the disabled in the area of hearing impaired and low vision blind? We don't do that, they responded. Only DD, I said, yeah, but they can do it. I know it's other camps do, Alliance Club do, and Kiwanis Club do for camp people wish to go. But Civitan is unfortunately way out of range. And I think the director should give some kind of medical directive and correct that immediately. We don't think it's fair. So I just want to make a comment for parents who are going to do this kind of thing and pay that much. Because it is using that format of that on that cause. And I'll close off with this real quick. I know my 3 minutes is near up. So I just want to say in this format. Because I've reminded them on tape, it says, no other wise part in 504 in the Civil Rights Commission, and I want to read on the Rehabilitation Act and the contract compliance. No other wise qualified handicapped individual in the United States be defined the section shall solely by reason of his or her handicap be excluded from participating in and be denied the benefits of and subject of discrimination under any program activity receiving federal funds.
Mr. Delgado, thank you very much.
I'll close off with that remark. I beg your pardon?
Thank you very much for being here and for your concerns. And as I said last month, that is District North. You might want to take that issue also up to District North, their IOC meeting. So, Eva, oh. If this comment is about, if this, No.
I have to go off because I have to turn my mic up because I'm having trouble hearing him. And so I just wanted to let Jeffrey know that I am going to go off and come back on after I turn up my mic.
Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you okay, but I'm okay. Having trouble because I need to turn up my speaker
okay.
on my computer, and I can't do it while I'm in Google Meet.
All right.
So I just wanted Jeffrey to know that I'm going to go off and then to let me back in.
Mr. Delgado, thank you for being here. You're welcome to stay the rest of the meeting, but we will not be able to acknowledge your comments or ask for comments from you. So thank you very much.
Thank you for allowing me to make my remarks. I just wanted for liaison information for parents to know, and as well as the community.
All right. Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that better for you? Okay. All right. So we do not have any possible new members. However, regarding membership, I visited with Eduarda this morning, and they have found a little spot of cancer on her liver, and she and her husband are both needing to concentrate on themselves at this point. So Eduarda says that she will not be able to be on IOC anymore. So we've lost another old timer member from the beginning. So, and then Jeffrey, our dear friend here, do you want to tell us what you're doing, Jeffrey?
I was going to just wait till the IOC updates, but I can tell everybody now that I have accepted another job with the OIFA department and with DDD. I will be the new Department of Child Safety liaison for DDD. So I have already previously, before I came over to the IOCs, I was a case manager with DCS for a few years. So I have experience in both worlds, and hopefully I can use my time here in OIFA to also help with the DCS side too.
We know you'll be great. And we've enjoyed having you with us. And I just want you to know you've really been a great support for me, as it's been a huge learning curve for me to do this. And you've been right there. And I really do appreciate all your help and your little messages to stay on the agenda. So thank you. Anyway. So that's what we have. So now we're down to 7, and we need to find out, we need to get Tina to start either attending or not. So I'll give her a call this afternoon and see what's going on with her. She had some pretty serious things going on in her family. So we'll see where she's at. And Debbie, like I said, she's busy with somebody else's grandkids today, so she can't. All right. She did have support coordination concerns. She visited with me a little bit. That's item number 5 on our agenda. And what happened, and Jeffrey or Michelle, maybe one of you can take this back to support coordination, or I don't know, Barbara Brent. All right. But what happened was, the day of Amy's, her daughter's PCSP meeting, 90-day meeting, the support coordinator called her and said, can we do this another day? Because I have a 15-page spreadsheet I have to fill out. The computer, in order to get my time sheets back in order and get them turned in on time, and the computer just crashed. And she said that in order to get reimbursed for her gas, that was why she had to get the timesheets in so that she could get reimbursed. She said that she gets reimbursed $160 and she spends about $500 a month in gas. She's on the road all the time trying to get all these meetings. And oh, by the way, can we meet Google Meet tomorrow for Amy's PCSB? And so Debbie's question is, what is happening with DDD as far as getting the support coordinators jobs filled so that the caseloads are not so large, especially with all the traveling that the support coordinators need to do? And have they reconsidered the increase in gas in order for reimbursement for the support coordinators? So those were her two issues. And I don't know if anybody can answer any of that, but if you're able to, that would be nice.
I don't believe that we can answer that since we're not directly related to support coordination. We can go ahead and present that over to support coordination through the OIFA channel.
But okay.
I don't think we can answer that directly.
Would we need to make a motion in order for that to happen?
That would be entirely up to you if you wanted to make it an official 21-day or if you just wanted as a query to find out why, you know, if DDD can make some adjustments or find out why. But you're able to make a motion if you want.
Right. Eva, you have your hand raised. You're on mute.
Yes, Eva wanted to make a motion because I talked to my husband about this because I figured this is just public policy. And he mentioned to me that reimbursement for gas is probably 5 years old. And so during the pandemic, gas prices went up. And so the reimbursement rate hasn't gone up. And so somehow or another, what we need to do is to make a So I was thinking about, is there any ORFA monies left over that they can give support coordinator more gas money, or the fact that definitely DDD needs to submit into the budget for next year an increase in gas prices, or at least advocate with the legislatures to get more gas money because it has to be statewide for the gas reimbursement.
This is Carolyn. I just want to comment that, I think maybe the first step is simply to find out what people are actually getting reimbursed for their mileage. Because my experience as a government employee is that I was getting plenty to cover my gas. The place where I lost money was car maintenance. But, so I'm a little doubtful that I would like to know if the mileage is really not reimbursing her for gasoline costs. So I think just finding out what the reimbursement is and how that works would be a first step.
Do I have a motion?
So why don't you make the motion then, since yours is a little different, and I'll agree with that.
Okay, so this is Carolyn Wilmer. I'm making a motion that the committee request information on mileage reimbursement for DDD employees. How much are employees getting reimbursed, and what documentation do they have to submit for reimbursement?
Is there a second on that?
Eva seconds. So unless you wrote it down, Carolyn. Unless you wrote it down, I said, what are the employees getting reimbursed for gas? And what was the rest of it?
And then I would say, and what documentation do they have to submit for reimbursement? In my experience, it's your mileage. You're actually submitting a document detailing where you went and when, and that determines your mileage. So I would just like to know that before we move forward.
So what are employees getting monetarily?
What is the reimbursement rate?
Reimbursement rate. Okay, got it.
Per mile for travel, because that's usually how it's calculated. And what documentation is required to be submitted for reimbursement?
Okay, got it. Just so
we can understand how it actually works before we suggest changing it.
Okay, Eva seconds.
Do we have a discussion? No discussion. I am wondering, what about the hiring of support coordination in addition to that? Because they are...
Well, that would be another one, because technically, well, somebody in one of our meetings talked about how we were... They hired so many support coordinators and how everything was wonderful.
Right. I've heard that as well. However, when someone's spending all this time in the car that she cannot get her work done.
Well, plus the fact that there are a lot of more requirements in these new policies for support coordinating. They, for people who are AWOL, they have to meet, if they go to behavioral health and come out of the hospital after 72 hours, the support coordinator has to have a meeting.
Right.
And so it just seems like there's just, oh, and then the other thing is that so when they do the transition people, you know, they have to do the employment, and I still have not figured out where they're doing their employment training at age 14. So all this stuff.
Okay, that's another issue. But
a lot of work.
The point is the support coordinators have a lot of work, which is to do, and it's increasing, their job description is increasing. So would it not be beneficial to know if there are plans to hire more support coordination?
So maybe we should ask information about, I'd like to know how many miles on average they're driving per day. That would give us an idea. And then perhaps as a separate motion, we ask for their current job description.
Okay.
Well, I don't know if it's the job description or the fact that they might need more because of the increase of tasks required.
The responsibility.
That would be under the job description.
Job description, Eva. Okay, so here's the motion as I understand it. We would like to know what documents are needed for the support coordination to submit in order to be reimbursed for their gas. We would like to know what the reimbursement rate per mile is and how many miles per day they are driving average.
On average, yeah.
Okay, those are the 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that's the restatement of the motion. Do I have a second on that restatement then?
Eva seconds.
Okay. And let's see. We'll take a verbal vote, Eva.
I vote yes.
Carolyn?
Yes.
Mandy?
Yes.
Lisa?
Yes.
Okay, we have 4 in favor. Thank you. I don't vote unless it's a tie, so that's why. All right, so that motion has passed. And then with regards to support coordination,
so this is Carolyn. I make a motion that we request the current job description which should include all newly assigned duties for these employees.
Do I have a second?
I want the job description. I want to be sure it's up to date.
Right. Eva?
Well, I'll second up, but the discussion should be, because maybe some of these policies have not been implemented, but the problem comes in is up to date versus new policies being implemented maybe within the next 6 months. Because the problem comes in is, yeah, they have a job description now, but maybe AWOL isn't done yet or whatever. And so I guess some policies have not been implemented yet when it goes by for the 21 days.
Well, they can't tell us what hasn't been implemented. They can't tell us that yet. All they can do is tell us what has been implemented per the policies, because policy that may all change. The issue is that they're trying to comply with access on all of this stuff. So, okay, so job description is important, but in order for the support coordinators to do their job and to do it well, we need to have more. So that would be a question I think we would want to ask is, are there plans to hire more?
And yeah, and so I would like to know what their caseload is as well.
The in reality caseload.
Yes. Yes, not the on paper, the actual, yeah. What are they actually doing caseload?
Okay, so I will restate what we have. Are there any other comments regarding this? All right, so the main points of the motion are, please provide a current job description, including the newly designed duties per new, newly assigned duties per the new policies that have been implemented in order to comply with access. What are the plans to hire more support coordinators? And what is the actual caseload for the support coordinators? Not what is the actual caseload and what is the on paper caseload? Okay. Is that good? That's how we're going to do it. All right. Do I have Eva, how do you vote?
Yes.
Carolyn?
Yes.
Lisa?
Yes.
Mandy?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, that has passed. All righty. So that was Debbie's issue with regards to support coordination. Do we have, as you ladies were reading the incident reports this past month, were there any general, not specific, general issues that we need to discuss in this meeting? No? If you're talking, Eva, you're on mute.
I guess my issue with reading IRs is they answer the question for what the particular incident is. But I have found human rights issues or, you know, because of neglect, you know, there was health issues like with wounds or whatever, or there was not enough food or whatever. And I guess my issue is, as an IOC member, it is And this becomes back to support coordination about, okay, do we, we have talked to James about this, but it just seems like there's no way to find out if things have improved for that member. I mean, you know, it's like last night I read them because I'm leaving, and one person was in neglect and the same person showed up in other abuse. And yet, you know, it seemed, I mean, they were different days, but almost the same issues. And my perception, they didn't show up in another IR that I thought was more serious, you know, a suicide. And it just seems like, you know, it just seems like these, some of the ones that have the severe behavior, they just keep having behaviors. And it was just like, it was almost like, okay, can we refer them to case management, who is in charge of people with behavioral issues or certain severe health issues, or if they've missed three medical appointments, you know, what do they call those when they have to go?
Med review.
Yeah, if they miss three med reviews. So it's just like, how are we making, are all these people that are having, I know they're having staff issues because of lack of being able to find people, but on the same token, it's impacting the quality of life of the people that we serve. And how do we find out that, you know, once they did the substantiated the IR, that things actually improved with them, or do they fall through the crack again before they get another IR? And I guess that's my issue with reading these things and getting the responses that I read. And do we need to really send them? In one place they were talking about sending, in the SARS one, they talked about sending questions someplace else.
Sending what? Sending,
so here it is in quality of care concerns. In quality of care concerns, this is what it says. The division and contracted service providers who receive an IOC request for additional or unaltered documentation, supplemental information, or an investigation regarding an access member shall submit the request to access via email to IOC inquiries at azass.gov. So is that what we're supposed to send? So if I'm not happy with my answers in the IRs when Jeffrey sends them, that I'm supposed to send my comments to the IOC inquiries at AZ Access.
James, do you have an answer to that?
Yeah, I mean, I would start by, if you have any questions about that, to submit them to us first. And then if you're not happy with the answers, then you can submit them to them.
Well, I had a whole list. The last ones that came, I had a whole list. I sent them to Jeffrey and Linda. And so, you know, one of them, I'm sorry, James. It was like mentally, I felt like I was stamping my feet. I was so mad. And this time when I read them, I was more nice.
Well, I don't want to get the specifics unless you guys are in.
I know. But on the same token, you know, I did send, you know, when they sent out the ones this month with the responses for May, I had a whole bunch of questions that I didn't feel like they got answered properly. And I guess I just need, and I guess that's why I'm bringing this up, is it's just the fact that
So Eva, so you sent your concerns and I saw them. They went to Jeffrey and to me. So from there, Jeffrey, did you send them to James?
I did not yet send them to James.
Okay.
If you wanted to do an official request for unredacted information, that is on a different channel. But I needed to find out from you what you wanted to do as...
No, I didn't need them unredacted. I just needed some more
information. You wanted follow-up is what you want.
Actually, what I wanted to know is, you know, did the quality of the life of this person improve after they did the substantiation? I mean, that's my issue.
Let me just ask this. So I think your question is, when we are not, and I think I responded to your question to me when we were talking about this, if we are not satisfied with or need more information, what is the process to get that? That's what you're asking, correct?
Yeah, because I thought it was supposed to go, you know, so I made a list, I had the number,
right,
and all that other stuff, and I sent it to you and Jeffrey, and so I thought maybe it was going up the food chain, but I guess it didn't go up the food chain to get answered.
Lisa, you've got your hand raised.
Yeah, I just wanted to, I wonder if it's possible if we could be provided with a simple email or document that gives us steps as to how we want to flag, or like, okay, first send a response to Linda and James, email at this. If we don't have the information that we've requested, then send to these people. I wonder if we can just get like a step-by-step guide as to how DDD wants us to address and what, who to contact first, second, third, etc.
Carolyn, you're on mute.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Such a good discussion. And I want to piggyback onto this in that I come from a Head Start background, so case management background. And in Head Start, each child had a unique identifying number. So I could use that unique identifying number and look up all that information about that child. I could review their complete records. Now, when you're reviewing an incident report, to me, part of the challenge is that you can only see what you're looking at. There's no way to cross-reference. And so it's fragmented. So you don't have a complete picture, like maybe this person has a medication error, maybe they have an abuse and neglect, you know, other incident reports, but because you can't cross-reference, that person's situation is not clear to you. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
So let me see if I can wrap this up and explain what our concerns are. So we get the responses back from the incident report. We need further clarification on the incident itself, or we have additional questions regarding the individual. So what is the path for doing that? Because when we write our comments in the comment section, we know that they go to Jeffrey. He sends them on over to QM. And so, but when we have additional questions, they're not in that actual format. Correct, Jeffrey and James? They're not in the incident report drive that shared with me, confidential files. So how do we ask additional information? And I think that's what all five of us would like to know, basically. So what are the steps for that?
So your steps would not just be listing what questions you have, but a direction that needs to go. That's
correct.
What I was waiting for, because unless you tell me to send this up to James in quality, it's just a statement and it stays with you, Linda, as the chair.
I'm sorry.
Needs to kind of. You're the liaison for your whole committee, so to speak. You're the spokesperson. So Eva can direct an email to me and you, but it needs to say, I would like this to be sent forward to James. I don't think that it said that. It said, these are questions that we have that didn't get answered. Right.
That's exactly what it was. Yes.
So where did you want me to go with this? Because if you wanted to do it as a completely unredacted, I need anything that you have, that has to be done on a separate form that's requested for the IOC liaisons to do. And then we can fill out that form, or you fill out the form, present it to us, and then we can, through legislative acts, get you those unredacted reports, anything that we have available. If you just want to send to James, I need to have that direction be noted, that I would like to further, if James and the quality improvement unit can, in, you know, add more information, it would be appreciated.
Perfect.
Okay, so I do want to bring up one other thing, because this is what both Lisa and Carolyn were inquiring about. In the metadata reports that I send you every month, there is a top 30 members and a top 30 agencies report that will tell you if you have a, what we would say, maybe a very high utilizer of incident reports, people who get a lot of incident reports, they will be listed in the order from top to bottom of the top 30. If that individual, because you do have their first name, is listed, you can see which ones were listed for that individual. If they had 3 AWOLs or AWOLs, or if they had a suicide or 3 suicides, those would all be listed in that top 30 if they exceeded into that top 30 amount.
I love that point.
Then you would make a request to see maybe all of those redacted incidents in one spot, so you can take a look. But that's how you mine the information from those metadata reports.
Perfect.
Eva has one question. I mean, now quality is talking about, you know, there's no trends, or they had 13 trends out of 20 for behavioral issues, and they are listed in the actual IR in the summary report. Now what I need to know is, what are you doing with those trends? I mean, you know, it's just like, it's sort of like the head banging or the biting. You are following up on that. So if they didn't go to the hospital, so that doesn't end up being in the IR, but are you still collecting that data, or did the agencies get so mad at you that you stopped collecting data on that? So I had two questions. What are you doing with the trendings, and what are you doing with the head banging biting issues?
With the head banging what?
Biting. So if they bite, like they bite the staff, or they bite themselves, they're supposed to go to the hospital, or if they bang their head against the wall or fall on the floor and hit their head.
Okay. You know, Patricia, I know that behavioral health has come out because we've talked about this in PRC. Would you like to explain to the committee about the biting and the head banging?
So when it comes to head banging or biting, that's considered a self-harm behavior. In some incidents, we do recommend as a team to the head banging, of course, to wear a helmet and kind of, it also depends, you know, that's a recommendation we do recommend, depending on how badly the individual is hurting himself. And also for the biting, you know, we recommend protocols. Like, are they monitoring the bites? Are they watching for MRSA and any type of infections? However, if the member is his own guardian, then that becomes a problem because there's no one to agree to the restriction. It would have to be agreed by the member itself. However, we do have a guardian. The guardian can go ahead and agree to those type of restrictions where, one, we can get a helmet from the doctor request some kind of form of, for the biting, some form of monitoring from staff. However, most of the time, what we do see is that staff already have or the provider has some similar things in place. So I guess that's would be my explanation. It just depends.
So is James still from James? I can understand that, but is James still collecting data about the head banging not going to the hospital?
So normally when they do have an incident, they do report it, or they should report it, right, James?
Yes, and we are still following up on those, and if they are not following up and getting medical attention for head injuries, including head banging and bites, we are still following up and considering them neglect allegations. So yeah, still following up on those.
So what do you do with these trending things that when I read into the IRs and the follow-up and they say, you know, I can understand no trends, but what do you do with the ones that are 13 out of 20 trends and then you close it? So what does that mean to me when I'm reading that, when I see that they trended 13 out of 20?
So that means they're doing something about it. What it depends on what it is. So all those actions are done by our quality management unit, and it depends on what it is. So if it's something that has been elevated to behavioral health, if it's behavioral related, if it's had to be sent to nursing because it's health related, if it's sent back to the support coordination team for support, additional support. Every trend has a different reaction. So I can't say specifically what each one of those are, but if it's trended, it has a reaction.
Oh, okay. So if it says, so if they say behavior, where does that go?
Well, most likely it would go to behavioral health. If they're trending a behavioral health issue, then it would be elevated to behavioral health for support.
Okay.
And then if it was health related, so if they've had like 7 hospitalizations, then it would be elevated to health services to find out why they were being hospitalized so often and what do they need supports in to not be hospitalized, or like if they have been readmitted like 6 times, they would want to elevate it to health services to find out why are they being readmitted to the hospital so many times. If it's related to medication administration errors, then it might go to needing to be looked at by our pharmacist or by our medical director to find out why they're getting so many med errors. Is it a training issue, or you know, is it because they're having medication issues with the health plan, or you know, does it need to be elevated to the health plan? It's different for every single type of trend based on the trend.
Well, that makes me feel better when I see some of these things and they are trending. That means that DD is actually doing something by elevating it. So that might solve some of my problems when I read these. And
well, now Eva, we know how to move forward. I didn't realize that I needed to give Jeffrey instructions as to what to do. So now I will do that. And Jeffrey, do I need to email you with regards to her latest questions, or can you just and make it so it's a written request, or can you just do it if I'm saying this verbally? You're on mute.
I can forward it to James.
Okay.
As is with the verbal here.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. That kind of what the end of that conversation led me, leads us sort of into agenda number 8, which is DDD and the general mental health update. And I just learned that term. I had a meeting with Carl Burick and Leah Gibbs last week with regards to the ASH incident reports. And instead of saying SMI, because that is a diagnosis, they're saying general mental health. And then I was talking to another individual, and apparently there's some, I don't totally understand it. I'm in the process of learning this. It's a huge learning curve for me with regards to this whole behavioral health issue. But so that's what the general mental health is. It's referring to all, like schizophrenia, bipolar, SMI. It's the big umbrella for all mental health. But apparently, since November, we have not been getting, and I kind of wondered about this, but I thought, well, we're getting the data. I wasn't quite sure what we were supposed to get. But we were not getting the incident reports from ASH. And apparently, they were sending them to behavioral health and not, and quality was not getting it. Is that correct, James? That's my understanding.
Yes, that's correct.
And so now we will be getting them, and again, and so when it go, when you, James, when you were talking about it being sent to, if we have a further question with regards to behavioral health, what is the communication between behavioral health and quality and your unit? What is that communication? Does it come through central office, or does it go to the districts, or how does that work?
So, I mean, it's an internal communication. Like Carl communicates with their department head, but we also can communicate directly with the members of their team. You know, just like we communicate, because PRC is a part of behavioral health. So, right. I communicate directly with Patricia and so forth. But when we have elevation, we normally elevate through the leaders of our teams.
So they could, but that communication process is now reopened for behavioral health and quality.
Yeah, but for ASH, there was an issue at one time that we used to get directly all their incident reports sent directly to us, and then for a while we're sending them directly to behavioral health, and behavioral health was not sending them down to us.
Correct.
But that was not that was not their decision or anything like that. I mean,
It was the way it was. Yeah.
Yeah, the way it was. But now they're coming back directly to us again.
Okay. Eva, you're on mute.
Well, since you brought up SARS, new policy.
Wait a minute. What's SARS?
Seclusion and restraint.
You didn't bring that up.
You mentioned ASH. And
only so, in the incident reports, Eva, only with regards to the incident reports and us getting them. We have to be real careful because we can get in trouble.
Yeah, but the thing of it is Jeffrey mentioned that we get those reports on ASH, right?
Keep it general.
So when we get those reports, those are reports on seclusion and restraints. Right.
That's one of them. Yes.
Yes. And so in 962, they talk about tracking and trending. And so,
okay, we'll get with the policies when we go to policies. Okay.
Okay. Because I guess it's sort of, because we were talking about IRs and reporting and all that other stuff. And that ASH has to start doing that. It's all sort of mushy with
that new policy.
This is all new gray area for all of us, so you're correct. But we'll get to 962 when we talk policies, okay? Because okay. It sounds like we're getting into specific with that, and I don't want to get off of the agenda. I have to be real careful with keeping us on track here. So otherwise I get the text message from Jeffrey. You're not supposed to talk about that. Anyway, all right. Let's see. So that was all I had with regards to the communication and us being able to get the incident reports, just as a heads up for all of you that we will be getting them once again.
Yeah.
And then we
did go back and review all of the incidents in between that were not sent to us and did have them triaged to ensure there wasn't anything that needed to be elevated for the stuff that was not entered in. So they did go back and did review them.
Okay.
For that gap of time that we were not entering them into the system. There was too many to go back and re-enter them, but they did review them.
Okay, thank you, James. Okay, so going to agenda item number 7, the update on the PCSP, and I have brought up in these meetings as well as statewide with regards to the current completion by support coordinators of the new PCSP format, and consistently we're missing the responsible person information, contact information that's not being filled out, the member profile, which includes the history, is not being filled out. They have current information in there, but they are not putting in the historical information that has always been included, as we know, in the previous ISPs. And then there are a few other things as well that are consistently missing in the documentation of this. And I think, Patricia, you'll go along with it, as we've been saying this quite a bit. They're getting better at getting it completed. But we did submit to Zane through behavioral health, because this is PRC. So we submitted through behavioral health to Zane some PCSPs and behavior plans that reflected what we are generally seeing in our meetings. And so that is being looked at and discussed, and hopefully by our statewide in next month, Zane will have a report for us with regards to that. So we do make a difference when we are able to let Dee Dee know what's going on as far as what we are seeing. So I appreciate everybody that participates in PRC and hope that you will continue to do so, as well as reading the incident reports. Excuse me. Are there any questions on the PCSP?
We don't need any motion for that, right?
No, it's all. I'm just giving you an update on it. It's already in the works. Yeah. Okay. All right. We're at number 9 on our agenda, new policy discussion. As all of you know, last month we spent quite a bit of time reviewing all of these, and I'm hoping that you took a look at it, at what Carolyn and Eva both wrote, that and I sent it to Jeffrey and to Larry as well as the committee. We can't spend as much time as we spent last time on it. So the point is please review it. If you have comments or concerns, be prepared to discuss them. And if not, then we can just go to a motion and after reading them and say that we will present it to the policy unit for our concerns. Eva.
Well, I do wanted to make a motion for one of them, the chapter 26. I could not find a clean copy
But I did find in the 405, so one of them is has to do with the vendor, and one
which
of them.
Which one are you referring to of the ones that were sent out?
Chapter 26 and the 504 on the cultural comments, competency, language access plan, and family member center care. So basically what happens is for the 405, they actually have the numbers so that you can, when you make the motion, you can make the comment. So in line item 32, in 405, in line item 32, it says Medicaid Accountable Care Organization, and they said it's ACOM. But in the policy, they talked about ACOM, which Carolyn had issues with. And in so the issue is in line item 880C taglines. In both policies, they need to be defined. And so that would be go into the policy. And in 405, line item 402, they talk about they move the shall to the should to shall. But in the chapter one for the ADSS, they kept the should, but I have no line item for that. So my thing was, I was happy with everything else, but on the same token, I thought maybe we needed a motion so that they defined what taglines are. None of us could figure out what taglines were, and that in both policies, they were not defined, but in chapter 26, they should change the shall to the should to shall, which is what they did in 405, if that makes sense. I'll have to make a motion, but for a discussion.
What was the line item on that?
Well, the biggest problem is in chapter 26 that needs to be changed, there are no line items. I could not find it anywhere. I went to where you sent me the thing. Okay. I could not find the line items at all. I could find the line items for 405, but I could not find the line items for chapter 26. But the issue, so in chapter, in policy 405, the line item is actually 402. But I don't know if it'd be the same line item in chapter 26, but
here's part of the problem. We don't know because they're trying to match up with access language, which matches up with CMS language. We can't change it if we don't know that is what the access language is. And so what we need to know is what the access language looks like that DDD is matching up to. So maybe we should ask to also have the access language or policy that DDD is complying with. Because if we send in this information, they can't change it because we're talking the federal government here. So
the only thing of it is, why would they change it in one policy and not the other policy?
Because maybe that's how it is in access. That's all I'm saying. So
is there a way to talk about getting taglines defined?
Yeah, we can ask that. We can put all of this in. I'm just saying it may not happen because that may be the access language.
Okay.
So, all right. So I am the sheet that I sent out And it starts with 54 group home requirements. Have all of you read that? It's quality of care. It's the nutritional guidelines, line 263. And then the questions, what is the immediate jeopardy status? Serious identified deficiencies. Number two, IOC request for additional or unaltered documentation, supplemental information, or an investigation regarding an access member shall submit the request to access via email to IOC at da, 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 da. Is this what we need to do for our IR answers? We already got that, right? We got that answer from James.
I'm sorry, I missed what you were talking about. I thought you were talking about group homes. Are you talking about 962?
I'm reading the paper that you sent to me with all of it on there. It's 54 group homes. It's the 960 quality of care concerns, 962 reporting and monitoring of seclusion and restraint. And then the taglines definition and the emergent dental and defined apioectomy. I'm looking at that sheet.
Oh, okay. So the first one had to do with the taglines. That's what I talked about.
Right.
The taglines are in chapter 26.
Right.
Okay. So the one about the group home, the 54 with the group homes, was the issue is in policy 1240, they have the adequate for home delivery meals. That if for members who live in their group home, they get at least 1/3 of the federal recommended daily allowance in delivered food. And last month I said, you know, in the policy 54 for group homes, line item 263, they added that they have to have 3 days. But my thing of it is, if people in their own home gets nutritional meals, why don't they put into the 54 group home requirements that the members get to choose fruits, vegetables, proteins, grains, and dairy per choosemyplate.gov, where the selection is based upon their age group. So the federal guidelines are actually, I went looking at Choose My Own Plate, the nutritional guidelines, and the federal guidelines use Choose My Plate, and they're all based upon the person's age, whether they're normal age, seniors, or children. And so it seems to me that if you live in your own home, you can get to maintain your health, you get can have nutritional food. Why don't we also put into the new policy for the group homes that they also get nutritional guidelines, nutritional food? Because this is an issue that I see in IR.
Okay, we can put it in there.
So are we going to make a motion?
It's going to be, we're going to motion on this sheet, okay?
Okay. So the problem came in with James in the 962, the reporting of seclusion and restraint. They call it SARS, S-A-R. That's how it, so in the report, when they talk about incident reports, they talk about face-to-face monitoring. And I want to know what face-to-face monitoring is. If they're using SARS that requires face-to-face monitoring, what is face-to-face monitoring?
Okay.
Because I guess, I don't know if James is there, can just do that. Because Quality assurance has to track and trend the use of SARS for all members, including members at the ASH. And so what the other question I need to know from James is that, I'm sorry, Jeffrey, but is that report that we get every quarter, is that going to be the same thing as tracking and trending for the members at ASH?
You get a monthly report that just goes over the actual incidents, whether it was a seclusion or restraint, and how long.
I know. So that's my quarterly report, but they're going to do it now.
It's monthly. Now they're
gonna, monthly?
It's a monthly.
So every month when we get our IOCs, we're going to get a monthly report now? And
yes.
Why? And so when they talk about trending, because James said trending, that means if they trend, they have to move it up the food chain. So how are they going to move it up the food chain for those ASH members that have actually, those are what you call trending when I read those SARS report that we get every quarter. So to me, that is trending, and I need to understand where those ASH reports are trending to another level. Do they go to access then? I mean, you know, it's just sort of like, or is this one of these things that, where, page five. So is this one of these things that we need to elevate it to access, to request why they still are doing all that stuff month after month after month? And by the, you know, I did get an IR on one of them. And so I was wondering if, you know, are they actually, because you mentioned that they said that they have to do the goals. So are they doing their habilitation? Are they doing any kind of behavior management before the SARS at the state hospital? That is the issue with this quality assurance in looking at, when I look at the new policy, you know, where they track and trend the use of SARS. Personally, I think, I mean,
Eva, we need to just comment on the policy itself. We can't get into the how is it going to happen and the detail like that. I don't understand what your issue is. If we have things to add to the policy or corrections, that's what this is about. We can't get into all the nitty gritty detail like this and ask these questions, especially before it's, I don't understand. I don't get it. I'm sorry. Am I missing something here?
I guess I just needed, in reading the policy, I can't make comments on it if I don't understand what it means by face-to-face monitoring.
Okay.
And then the other thing of it is, after this policy goes into effect, then I can start asking the quality management to tell me what it means to have trending, that, because they have to do a report on tracking and trending.
So what's your question? I mean, they're going to track and trend. I mean, we understand what track and trend means. What's your...
Well, the biggest thing of it is that the same thing that what they're doing now, or is it going to be different? That's what I need. And James says trending, they means they bump it up. Where are they going to bump it up to? I mean, I'm saying is, if we're looking at ash, if we're looking at ash and all this other stuff, quality assurance, when they talk about this quality management stuff, it's where did it go? I lost it.
Mandy, do you have a comment? Go ahead, Mandy.
Wouldn't you be able to add all of the, like, all of those questions or concerns into, like, the public comments and say?
No, that's what she's got here. That's what she's got here.
Yeah.
Is her comments. I'm wondering. I didn't want to have, you know, where we get the answers today. These are just questions that hopefully, Eva, if I'm understanding you correctly, these are the questions that you want to have asked as a result of the, or in these policies. You want clarification for these things, correct?
No, I want to make motions for some of them, but for the 9, 6,
we can't question about a policy that is not in we can't make a motion on this. The only thing we can do, hold on. What we're trying to do is to figure out what IOC District Central's public comments are going to be with regards to these policies. That's what we're trying to do here. And so I took the comments that you sent to me and put them in this format, or you sent them like this. And I just wanted us to look at these comments and do we agree with this or not? I mean, are there more comments than this, than what you've sent? Because we can't, if you didn't send it to me, we can't review it all prior to the meeting and then vote on it if we don't know what it at all is. Go ahead, Mandy.
That's what I'm saying, though. That's why I'm confused. Why we always get stuck, because, like, I read all of the comments and we haven't even gotten through, like, the first two or whatever, so I'm just confused.
Eva?
I don't know. I'm sorry, I did not. I did not copy that sheet out of all the ones that, oh, here it is. The day treatment. So I missed it. So the problem. So I don't have it written out.
Okay, let me read. What you have sent, okay, and then we can go from there. All right, so with regards to the 54 group home requirements versus 1240F, and then you put possible motion. The only motion we can make is whether we submit it to the policy for public comment. That's okay. All of this is going to be a possible motion, not just the one. And so you are wondering if the group homes can use the nutritional guidelines for their guidelines for the homes, for what's in the home, correct?
Yes.
All right. Okay. So that's 54. 960. What is immediate jeopardy status, serious identified deficiencies? So you want a definition of immediate jeopardy status and serious identified deficiencies? Is that what you're asking there? Definition four?
Yeah.
Okay. Number two. IOC request for additional or unaltered documentation, supplemental information, or an investigation regarding an access member shall submit the request to access via email at IOC inquiries@AZAAccess. Is this what we need to do for our IR answers? I don't think we need to put that in there. James,
I don't think that's right. I agree with that. We found
962, reporting and monitoring of seclusion and restraint, SAR. How is the division quality tracking and trending the use of SAR for members at ASH, and how is that different than the quarterly reports we get now?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
Well, but that's not policy. That's not part of the written policy. That's methodology.
That's actually in the policy. That's in the new policy.
Read it. What does it say?
So the policy is, when they talk about restraints, they talk about restraints and means of personal, mechanical, or drugs used as a restraint, and is the following: the division shall require all interventions used during each incident of SARS to be documented in a single individual report, including all required components of each type of interventions used to manage the behavior. The division shall ensure the individual reports of SARS are linked to any connecting incident, accident, or death, internal reference, or quality of care. Concern processes within the access quality portal as specified in the division medical policy 960. If the use of SARS requires face-to-face monitoring as outlined in AAC R9-21-204, which I have no idea what it means, a supplemental report shall be submitted as an attachment to each individual report. The division's quality assurance shall track and trend the use SARS for all members, including members at the state hospital.
Okay, those are internal processes. Okay, that's how they track and trend. That's their internal processes. The fact that they're going to be doing it, that's internal processes. Is that a change? Did you want to make a change? I mean, you can't specify every little detail. That's internal process. Is that correct, James? Am I saying that right? Or did we lose you?
I really don't know if that's part of the policy or for the change, because I can't see the policy. You guys get them earlier than we do.
So I guess I don't want to change it. I just want to know
maybe what tracking looks like, right? You want to know
what does it mean to do face-to-face monitoring for members in ASH? So according to this, you know, ASH has to come up with what kind of intervention they did before they stuck them into SARS. And then internal thing is the tracking and trending. And so I don't care for I'm sorry, that sounds unkind, but I don't want to track and trend all SARS for members that live in group homes. But I am interested in those in ASH, because they are significantly.
I don't understand what your question is, though, because they're going to do it. What's your question regarding tracking?
I want IOC to get that report.
We do get that report.
I think that report is not going to be the same as the tracking and trending.
Then we can ask for it.
That's what I want.
Okay.
That's
but that doesn't have to do with the policy, right?
Well, other than the fact that I needed to know what face-to-face monitoring.
Okay, that's another question, though.
That's a question.
Yeah, that's another question.
Yeah, and then my question was the tracking and trending going to be different than the report they send us quarterly now? That was my question. Yeah. Because I didn't think that when they track and trend at ASH, that report is the same one that they're sending us. And I wanted to make sure that when they track and trend, that the report that they use is the same one that they're sending us.
All right.
That's the question.
All right. I wrote that down. Can IOC? IOC would like to see the track and trend report, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And if it's, yeah.
Okay. And then a definition of face-to-face monitoring, right?
Yep.
Okay. And what is AACR9-21-204? If ILC determines that SAR has been used in violation of any applicable law or rule. That's simple, right?
Say that again.
That's pretty simple. That's easy to understand, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then we want a definition of the taglines. And I thought we did the emergent dental. We did not define apioectomy, though, on 310.
So can I look that up?
I looked it up for you.
Yeah.
All right. So we don't need emergent dental. We already took care of that one. And define apioectomy on 310, correct? That's yours?
Yeah. And then the other thing was in the chapter 26, why is the comment on the 402 different than the statement in 405? So why did they put should in the chapter 26 as opposed to policy 405 when it is shall? And you said it was because of access, and that's why that's the question. Besides defining taglines in 405, line item ABC, why in 402 that comment is not the same as in chapter 26.
All right.
Hey, Linda.
Yes, sir.
I don't want to extend this any longer, but I have a couple of quick questions for Eva.
Yeah.
Eva, for one, those two does not look like either of them got changed. So it was just actually what was in there before. And yes, I can see that it's the same language except for the word shall and should.
Yeah.
I don't think they were changed at all. I think that's how they were.
No. It was shall before, because Carolyn, when Carolyn read the report and I looked at it, that's why when I went back into the actual listing where they had the numbers on the side, I was surprised to find out in 405 that they changed the should to shall in the one, but not in the chapter 26. And I could not find chapter 26 that had the policy, the information on the side. I looked high and low for it, and I could not find it.
There doesn't seem to be a markup one.
No, but the 405 had the markup, and I was surprised that the line item 402 had the shall changed to the should change to shall. So that's why I was
an oversight there. I do want to go back to your .962.
Yeah.
When you're saying ASH is doing this. I'm reading through the markup, and there's not a single ash being recorded anywhere that I can see. This is a DDD policy. This is not ash.
So let me see where it was. 4 or 5. So I will have to go back and look, but where did I miss it? Actually, there are several ones with DD policies that do mention ash, because the case management 1021.
The 962 report that I am reading on early does not contain the word ash that I have seen. It has access, and it has the other acronym, which is the ADSS. But I do not see anywhere where it says Arizona State Hospital or ASH. As I'm
well, I'll have to go back and read it. I'll go back and read it. This was the original one that they sent us in the early notification, and it talked about including members of the Arizona State Hospital.
You guys, can I make a suggestion here? I mean, I was the one that pushed for us to get legislatively for us to get these notices 30 days in a like DDAC does, 30 days before it goes out for public review. The purpose of it was, and I was referring in particular to the neglect, the text, the curriculum that came out for the abuse and neglect, where it was all that sexual, it was egregious for the members to be seen, for some of the members, not all of them, but it certainly wasn't appropriate for all DD members, and the way it got rolled out was inappropriate. We discussed that for several meetings here in IOC, and so the purpose of us reviewing this is to really look for egregious things like that, like rights violations. That's our role. And so I would prefer, given the short length of time that we have that for these meetings, that we look at these policies with regards to a rights issue, what the IOC in defense of Article 9 is supposed to be doing. And if you have individual concerns with regards to language or that sort of thing, go ahead on your own and submit that. But as an IOC, we really need to be looking at it from a rights perspective, an Article 9 perspective, since that is what we are tasked for. And I think we're getting weighed down in some of these language issues. And I appreciate the time that all of you put. I read the policies. I look at it for rights violations only. I don't look at it for clarification with regards to and inconsistencies or inconsistencies. I just look at it from an Article 9 perspective. And if I see anything that's waving a flag at me, then that's when I would bring it forward to this committee. So I don't know how the rest of you feel about this, but I would really, I wonder if you all feel that way and if you would be willing to go along with that train of thought with regards to our discussions with the policies. Any comments?
I would agree with that, because it seems like we spend a lot of time on stuff like it's important but not important to to our essential function as a group.
Carolyn, do you have any comment? You're on mute.
Sorry. Okay. So I'm trying to process this and I can see where you're coming from and wanting just to address the rights. I'm kind of questioning like where that boundary is in terms of the rights. Like, for example, with the cultural and family, for example, policy 405, cultural competency, language access plan, the way the policy is written, it requires someone who is a legitimate translator. And I can't remember the exact term that they use, but it doesn't say anything about that person being a certified translator in the family's language. So there's a difference between those two. I could be a perfectly certified translator in Russian, but that isn't going to help the family that speaks Spanish. So that's an example of where, you know, it's not directly a rights issue, but it's kind of indirectly a rights issue. And so I don't know. I'm really kind of on the fence about it, but I agree. We're taking way too much time in here. And I think it's really important that when we bring stuff to the committee that we either have a really, we're really clear what is the question that we're asking. And then if there's a next step needed, we need to be really clear up front at the meeting, what action are we asking to be taken? What action do we want to be taken?
Ava, do you have any comments? You're on mute.
Well, I agree with Carolyn because she did bring up the things with the cultural things. I went looking at them, and I also did the dental stuff, and we all got that sort of clarified or whatever. And so I feel like I want you to know I guess we all got 8 new early policies, and I went checking through them, and it was like, I don't need to deal with any of these. So I think out of all those ones that we did, it was important for us to bring issues up that impacted the members, whether they were what you perceived as a rights violation or not. And so I was happy that Carolyn had brought the ones up and looked at them, and I could feel comfortable with them, or I could agree with, you know, the taglines and the other things. So, and if we as a committee don't do it, I'll go make my own comments on the policy as an IOC member, whatever. But I feel like it's important to actually bring it to the committee.
So I want to add, I think for me, I tend to be a little overzealous with the wordsmithing for clarity. So that's something that I can individually submit. But I think to me, quality of care is really important. And maybe this committee is not the right place to address that. Maybe we do need to address that individually. But to me, that is really important. And I kind of hate to take it out of the committee, but we need to find a way to do this more effectively if we're going to do it in committee. Or we need to take it out of committee and just focus on the human rights violations.
Or make a subcommittee for dealing with policies.
And Jeffrey, subcommittee just has to be less than quorum, correct?
That is correct.
So it could be 3. All right, Lisa, do you have any comments regarding this? You're on mute if you're speaking. There you are. No comments? Okay. All right. So where are we with this?
Maybe we just need to discuss this further maybe we need to give it some thought and discuss it further at the next meeting.
I do agree in regards to possibly having a subcommittee for the processes, et cetera, and focusing on the human rights in this particular committee. I think that that would really help to be more efficient with our meeting time and focus.
Okay, so we're in agreement with that. It seems that way.
Mandy,
if we can't get a subcommittee, like maybe, like I will focus on health stuff because that's my background. I look at other stuff too, but maybe say we can't get a subcommittee together. Like we can't find a mutual time to meet or whatever. So maybe we say, okay, well, in that case, I'm going to submit my comments as an individual, not as a representative of the committee.
And then if you find something that is really egregious, like the curriculum, or like the nutrition, and quality of care is a rights violation. I mean, if they can't have a quality of life, I mean, that's Article 9 protects quality of care. I mean, you can call it quality of care, but it's a good life, you know? It's just how we would want to be treated. So maybe if we, how do you want to move forward with these particular ones that I sent to all of you?
So are you talking about the ones that the paper that Eva sent or the one that I sent out?
Both.
Okay.
Yours and Eva's.
Yeah. So for the one that I sent out, what I would like is clarification on who the target audiences are for the different versions of the policies, because, you know, I've got a stack of paper that's, I don't know if you guys can see this, but that's most of the policies. There's one that's missing, but that's the stuff that I need to read through for these policies. And I want to understand who the target audience is when it's the policies labeled medical policy manual for administrative services subcontractors versus the division medical manual. And I want to understand who is administrative services subcontractors, that kind of thing.
Okay, so this is what I would like to do. We'll make a motion and Eva, you include what you want in your motion. And we'll vote on it. Carolyn, you include what you would like to have in your motion. Then I want both of you or whoever to write it up for me so that I can then send it on. Or you can, well, I have to since I'm chair, if we're representing the committee. But if you want, and if there are other things in the comments that you have sent me that you would like to submit individually, then you know, you're free to do that, of course. But it's really difficult for me to go back and try to figure out the wording for these motions and exactly what it is you guys would like to have said when we've had these discussions. It's difficult for me to cut through the noise and get to the point in order to make it succinct.
And I think that's a great idea that the person who made the motion should be the person responsible for writing it up in a coherent, logical, readable by other people fashion.
Well, and it should, it will be reflected in our minutes because it has to be there in the minutes.
Yes.
What it is, but then send it to me. I mean, you guys, it's not like I don't have enough to do, right? Anyway, yeah. I mean, we all have a lot to do. Our committee is small and there's a lot to do. District Central is big. So anyway, all right. So Carolyn, tell us what your motion is.
Okay. So my motion is that my motion is that in May, DDD sent out policies with the same policy title, but different target audiences listed. And I would like clarification on what the differences are between these policies in terms of target audience, who will be reading and following these policies. And I can wordsmith that to make it a little bit more
But the bottom line is, who are the target audiences?
Yes, what are your two policies and who are
the two policies?
Yes, why are there two versions of one policy and who are the target audiences? Maybe
what is the policy number?
It's the ones listed on the sheet. So it's 961, 1021, 320Z, 960, and 962.
So who are the target audiences for all of these?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'll type it up for you.
Thank you. Do I have a second on that?
I'll second. This is Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa. All right. Eva, how do you vote? You're on mute.
No.
You vote no on it? Okay, Carolyn?
I'm not sure why you're voting no on this, Eva, because what I want to understand is why are, for example, why are there two different versions of 961 incident, accident, and death reporting?
I'm voting no because last month they said that the ADSS was for vendors and the other policy was for the medical one was for DDD. So
okay, so is this something where I can ask privately for clarification from DDD, Linda?
Sure.
Well, okay. You can vote for it just because I voted no. I mean, you don't have to have a quorum to have a policy to be implemented. So just because I voted no does not mean the rest of them can't vote yes, and the motion can be sent. It does not have to be a full quorum to be sent.
Yes, it does.
Jeffrey?
I'm going to leave that to Larry.
It does have to be a full quorum if we're going to vote on something and represent IOC. It has to be 5 of the votes. Because we have 8 members.
Okay, so I'll vote yes.
It's okay if you don't want to. I mean, yeah. Marilyn can handle this on her own. She can submit it.
I can. My concern is that now you've got, for example, for 961, you've got one document is they're both 14 pages, but they're different. So anytime you're creating two policies, you're doubling the amount of stuff you have to review. You're increasing the likelihood of things not matching up, of having differences in language. I think it can create confusion. Now, when I was writing long, complicated policies, what I would actually do is I would write, for example, I wrote this very long, very complicated policy on a protocol we had in Head Start. And there was a specific portion of the policy that was for everyone. There was a specific portion of the policy that was for the social workers. There was a specific portion of the policy that was for directors, so that we had a really cohesive policy. And you knew which sections to read depending on your role in the process.
And the reason why I wrote a no is because the prime example was your issue with the chapter 26 and 401, because they're labeled the same, but they're different. And what happened is in chapter 26, which is for the vendors, they defined all your quality translators and they mentioned what the individuals had to do. So that when they came down to 401, they did not repeat that information about all that other stuff. They just put in how they were going to implement it because the people were already defined in chapter 26. Okay. And so it's sort of like part of what you were worried about the language. And so there was the fine print was they had to translate in the person's thing, even though it isn't mentioned what their qualifications, because that was in 26. But on the same token, Spanish, English, and Navajo were not covered under the stuff because they considered that a non-prevalent language. So if you spoke any of those three languages, they didn't cover that service. And so that's why they were really careful in another part of the policy that they didn't mention the pre-prevalent language, because the pre-prevalent language could not be mentioned because down here they excluded it from being covered and being paid for. So in that particular policy, I could understand why there were two different policies, one for vendors and one for, and it's the same thing for the rest of it. You,
okay, Eva, I get it. So let's, I am going to just say as chair, if you want to submit these, we're not, and we don't have consensus here. Let's, Carolyn, you submit your comments. Eva, you submit your comments. We will next month discuss having a subcommittee. You guys will be capable of getting together during the month and thinking about if you want to be, if you would like to be on this committee, and determine as a subcommittee what you feel needs to be brought forward and what can be given individually. All right, we'll do that next month.
Okay,
so all right, thank you. We're moving on. I appreciate everybody hanging on with us through this discussion. It's not what I wanted to have happen, but it did, and so, but hopefully we're getting there. All righty, number 10, any updates from everyone? DDD.
So I'll go ahead and start since Leah's not here.
Okay.
I wanted to let you guys know that yes, July 7th will be my last day as the IOC liaison. Michelle Rademacher, who's on this call right now, will be taking over for your committee. I trust her implicitly, and she will still have contact with me in case there are questions that come up that from a historical standpoint that she needs to be filled in on. July 6th, the day before, will be the town hall, DDD town hall, that is available on the first Thursday of every month. And that's really it for me.
Okay.
Let me go ahead and I'll just call out for you. Patricia, did you have anything for DDD?
No, I don't. Thank you. I have no updates.
James, do you have any updates?
No, I just let people know I do have a new investigator that started today. And other than that, I have another new nurse investigator starting on the 10th that will fill out my staffing, so we won't have any vacancies. Other than that, I don't really have any other updates.
All right, thank you. Michelle, did you want to address your soon-to-be new committee?
Yes. Hi, guys. I have been in this role for a year now. I've been the IOC liaison for District North, District South, and District West. District West committee is very, very similar to your committee, as in your drive and your intensity for the work you do. So I feel like I would be able to meet your needs. Just reach out to me. I'm available by phone, email, text, chat. I did want to also let you guys know that DDD has IOC business cards if you want to use them for recruitment. We also have a pamphlet, a trifold pamphlet on general information for independent oversight committees. I am available to mail those to you if you wanted me to send them out, if anybody wanted any for use in recruiting.
Thank you.
Okay, I certainly will. And I'll put my email in the chat, but anybody that wants to reach out to me afterwards, feel like that they would like some of those documents to use in recruiting, just let me know. And then I also did some looking while committee discussions were going on. I do have information for you. I found it while this meeting was ongoing on the mileage expenses and what that reimbursement rate is. I pulled up the most recent and most current spreadsheet that DDD or DES employees are using to request mileage reimbursement when they're on official state business. And that mileage reimbursement is 0.625. So it's, you round it up, it's 63 cents a mile. And each travel expense is expected to be input and submitted to the travel claim committee, unit, by the close of the month preceding afterwards the travel that was done. So say somebody's getting ready to submit their June travel, and say their travel date was June 1st, then they would need to have that submitted to be considered timely by the end of July.
So with regards to that, pardon me for interrupting you, Michelle, but with regards to that, trying to get timesheets done in the middle of the month was not an issue, correct?
This sounds like a very individual experience with one support coordinator.
Right. Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Yes. And that's pretty much all I had.
Thank you for that.
So yeah. 63 cents per mile?
Per mile, 63.
Yes, 63 cents. And that is an increase. In 2019, what I found is it was 44.5 cents a mile. So 63 cents a mile is an increase from what the previous rate was.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. Let's run over to the health plans, see if we can, if there's anything from, start with Dawn.
Hi, everybody. I wanted to update. I've been updating all of the DD IOCs with some of our structure to help support any type of support or guidance needed by United Healthcare. So we have a team of 15 advocates and liaisons within United Healthcare. We have, it's comprised of DD liaisons, a tribal liaison, veteran, member advocate, the Office of Individual and Family Affairs, which is comprised of an adult and child member liaison, and many others. And I guess the reason I wanted to update all of the IOCs is if there are particular questions or concerns with regard to United Healthcare, please do not hesitate to reach out to Michelle. She's our conduit that, you know, feeds us any of the questions or concerns that you as an IOC member may have and works with us closely. And also, I wanted all of you to also know that the OIFA offices at each of the health plans work very closely with Leah Gibbs and the OIFA office within the DD. And so I just wanted to make that announcement. I know I don't often have a lot of announcements, but if there's anything that you request or need more information about, please go ahead and reach out to Michelle. She will make sure that she works with me to get that information needed. And I hope that helps. Thank you, everyone.
I do have a question for you, Dawn. I was, as I mentioned earlier, I was in a meeting with Leah regarding the ASH reports, and Anyway, regarding the ash reports, and one question that came up is, what are the health plans doing to, it's pretty broad, to work with DDD as well as in coordinating the behavioral health and the general mental health umbrella? Is that making sense?
Yes, it is. I got you, Linda. So what I'll do is, because it's easiest for me, and I'm not trying to make more work for you, I'm going to write down the question, and I'll include Michelle and yourself in an email to make sure that I have exactly what you're looking for. And then our process within the health plan is to escalate that so that our leaders can provide you with the most appropriate answer. Is that okay? I'll get
that's
that.
That's fine.
Okay.
I feel bad because I wrote the question down exactly the way it came up in the meeting, and now I can't find where I put it. So that would be fine. Yeah.
Would it be better if, you know, maybe if you have time, you find it and then email me and Michelle, and then we have the exact wording?
Sure.
Okay. That would be great.
And Jeffrey, he's still on, right? Can't leave out my boy there, right?
Okay. Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
All right. Thank you, Dawn. Thanks, Jeffrey. You're on mute, Jeffrey.
Vera, did you have any comments?
No updates from Mercy Care.
All right, thank you.
Vera, can I send you the same question? Because it's regarding the health plans, and you know, Mercy Care clearly is one of the health plans, so.
Yeah, sure, that's fine. Send me the question as well, and I'll look into getting a response for you.
Okay. All right. I'll send it to Jeffrey and Michelle, and they can forward it on to both of you, because I don't know that I have your email addresses. That'll be fine. That's fine with me. So that's fine. All right. Go ahead, Jeffrey. Sorry.
All right. And then finally, Larry.
Good morning, Linda.
Good morning.
Good afternoon now. The only update I have for the group would be the open meeting law training we had earlier this month. The slides and the audio of the presentation are posted on the website. If you need that link sent out to the group, I'd be happy to do that. Other than that, I really do not have any other updates. Are there any questions that I might be able to answer for you?
No. Does Eduardo need to do anything officially to resign from the committee?
No, her having that discussion with you is perfectly fine. That's fine.
Okay.
No
problem. All right. Okay. All righty. Thanks. Okay. Appreciate it.
Of course.
That should take care of everybody.
James? Is he on still or no?
He did not have any comments earlier.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Sorry.
I'm still on though.
I'm losing it, people. Sorry. All right. Next is roundtable for our next agenda. So we will discuss a subcommittee with regards to policy. Is there anything else that you guys would like to see on the agenda for next time?
Well, actually, I'd like to, yes, that was the other thing.
Okay.
The STARS, the seclusion and restraint for ASH members. Oh, I know. And the other one I wanted to talk about was the fact that members that are 2-to-1 cannot go to the day programs.
Still?
I don't know. Can they go? I guess that's
the question. I think it depends on the agency.
I know, just in regards to that, maybe this is something that could go on the agenda as well. I've been attempting to help some families with day program. And I know that everyone is saying they're at capacity. There's a shortage of employees that are qualified employees to work in day programs. I don't know how this may be put on an agenda, but it's something that's definitely concerning. And I've seen many soon to be transitioning from high school to adult programs where they have nowhere to go. But I'm not sure where that would fall on the agenda or how we can, you know, if it's really part of this committee.
Linda?
Ma'am, yes.
I know for me that's a concern too, because none of my roommates have been able to go to day programs since COVID happened because they don't have appropriate programs that can meet their needs while they're gone.
So Jeffrey, Michelle, can you guys look into having somebody come to speak to us to that point for next month regarding the DTAs and the enhanced ratios? Lisa, are yours enhanced ratios?
Yes, they can be, but even without the, I know that some day programs and some agencies are having difficulty just fulfilling the regular ratios. Okay. I know that that's been a big concern.
So shortage of DTA slots, basically, right? Okay.
A high shortage.
And shortage of staff that can do what needs to be done.
It's interesting because I was talking to a friend of mine that works at Mark's DTA. He would still be home, and he was 1-to-1. So interesting. Even though his staff was still there, they were using him for like a 4-to-1 or whatever that ratio is. Okay, anything else?
Oh, Eva. So when we talk about the group homes, we should talk about the new group home requirements about being inclusive and how GD is going to track how group homes are going to implement those new policies that mirror access and CMS requirements.
I think that's a great point, Eva. Thanks for bringing that up.
Yep. So I'll send both of you guys, both you and Michelle, Jeffrey, an email with regards to this so that maybe you can find someone to come and speak to these two points.
Yep.
Okay. All righty. Anything else for next month? Okay. And do we need to go into executive?
Oh.
No.
Linda, I have a question. So I've been reading the incident reports, but a lot of them, I don't have like any questions or comments, and I forgot what we're supposed to say. Like, I've read them, but I forgot to mark them like we're supposed to. How am I supposed to do that? I don't remember because it's been forever.
So I can tell you, but Jeffrey, do you want to go ahead or just go up in the message, the little caption, right?
Yeah. Mandy, I will forward you the directions of how to do that.
Thank
you. Could you forward it to me as well, Jeffrey?
Okay, Lisa and Mandy, if you have questions, I'm sure Linda, the professional, will be able to help you. She's helped out Debbie. And then
And that was difficult, you guys, seriously. Right, well, Jeffrey?
And then I will also CC Michelle. So if you had any other comments also with that, she can also help out.
I just didn't mark them as red because I forgot.
Okay.
Just go up in the little, you know, where you would make a comment.
Yeah.
It looks like a little talking box, like on cartoon.
Click
on that and just underline like the IR number and just write NC for no comment.
Okay.
Right, Jeffrey?
That is correct.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll go back through and do label them all for you guys.
That's fine. All right. Okay. Well, if there's no need to, Eva, go ahead.
Well, I do have one IR that
we need to go into executive for.
Yeah.
All right. We need to make a motion then.
I make a motion we go into executive session.
Thank you. So, all of those who do not need to be an executive with us, I thank you from the bottom of my heart for listening in on all of this. Thank you so much. We appreciate you being here. And for the health plans, I will get that question over to both of you. And we'll see you next month. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies.
Bye-bye.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Linda, you need a second on that motion.
Okay, second.
This is Carolyn. I second. Oh, Mandy seconded.
Okay, Mandy seconded it. And a vote?
Aye.
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 All right, let me go ahead. I'm going to stop this recording so I can get to the next one.